This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Okay, so I want to let you know a couple things. First of all, Monday is Memorial Day, and it's good for you to enjoy the time with your family and enjoy the day off, of course. But let's not forget, of course, why we celebrate and recognize, I should say, Memorial Day. So I want to mention this to you. I always try to do this every year. I want to share this with you. Memorial Day is an American holiday observed on the last Monday of May, while honoring the men and women who died while serving the U.S. military. This year, it occurs on May 27th. Originally known as Declaration Day, it originated in the years following the Civil War and became an official federal holiday in 1971. Many Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting ceremonies or cemeteries or memorials or honoring the fallen at a ceremony. There are parades, of course, and unofficially it marks the beginning of the summer season, which is why I said many of you will be out there. You might be going down to the beach or going to the shore this weekend or just hanging out and having a barbecue. All that's great. You should feel good about that. Enjoying and celebrating America. No doubt about it. Absolutely. But let's also, even if you don't do anything formally, just take a moment on Monday to think about what we're observing on Monday, if you would, please. The Civil War, which ended in the spring of 1865, claimed more lives than any conflict in U.S. history and required the establishment of the country's first national cemeteries. By the late 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities had begun holding springtime tributes to these countless fallen soldiers, decorating their graves with flowers and reciting prayers. And so this is where the origins of Memorial Day began. The date of Declaration Day, as it was called, was chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle. On the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield, Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, and 5,000 participants decorated the graves of the 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried there. Many northern states held similar commemorative events and reprised the tradition in subsequent years. By 1890, each one had made Decoration Day an official state holiday. Southern states, on the other hand, continued to honor their dead on separate days until after World War I. Memorial Day as Decoration Day gradually came to be known, originally honored only those lost while fighting in the Civil War. But during World War I, the United States found itself embroiled in another major conflict, and the holiday evolved to commemorate American military personnel who died in all wars. For decades, Memorial Day continued to be observed on May 30th, the date Logan had selected for the first Decoration Day. But in 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May in order to create a three-day weekend for federal employees. The change went into effect in 1971. The same law also declared Memorial Day a federal holiday. Now, of course, there are various traditions throughout the celebration and observance of Memorial Day. And you can celebrate, of course, our freedom on Memorial Day while also observing those who've fallen in pursuit of that. One of the things that bugs me a lot of times, it's not people enjoying Monday and taking the day off and going to a party or barbecue and all that wonderful stuff. I think that stuff is great because we are a beautiful free country, and we should honor those who've given their sacrifice by enjoying this country and enjoying our family and our friendship together. It's a wonderful thing. But you know what I hate, though? I hate when there are people who say that America is a racist country, or that America is an imperialist or colonialist country, and they trash. And there are a lot of people right now in Congress who do that. They do that all the time. You know, America is this, it's white privilege, and it's we're racist, and we've always been racist. And since the founding of the country, it was founded by white men, slave-owning, rich white men. The bloodiest battle of the Civil War was the Battle of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. The Civil War devastated the Confederate states. The presence of vast armies throughout the countryside meant that livestock, crops, and other staples were consumed very quickly. In an effort to gather fresh supplies and intimidate the United States, Confederate General Robert E. Lee launched a daring invasion of the North in the summer of 1863. He was defeated by Union General George Meade in a three-day battle near Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, that left nearly 52,000 men killed, wounded, or missing. 52,000 men killed, wounded, or missing. Many historians mark the Battle of Gettysburg as a turning point in the Civil War when the South began to lose. After the battle, President Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address, which expressed firm commitment to preserving the Union and became one of the most famous speeches in American history. Now, I wanted you to think about it from this perspective. All of the people that died in the Civil War, many of them were fighting to preserve the Union and to help end slavery. Yet they are lumped in as racist. There's a lot of white people who died in that war. Conversely, there are a lot of people who died representing the Confederacy who were not fighting for the cause of slavery, but were fighting for other reasons, the right of their state to govern as they saw fit. You know, I've always been on the side of the Union had to stay together, but not everybody was fighting for slavery, despite what you learn in school. A lot of them, it wasn't about that. For them, why they took arms, I mean. And I don't agree with their thinking on that, because I think the Republic had to stay together, more importantly than anything, than any other issue at the time. But how can we be a racist country when so many people gave their lives to keep the Republic together, and the president, who was the commander-in-chief at the time, was firmly committed to abolishing slavery? How are we a racist country, is my question. And think about this, too. How are we a racist or an anti-Semitic country when we'll also be honoring on Monday the Americans who gave their lives to defeat Adolf Hitler, who in my mind still today is the embodiment of the ultimate evil. And imagine if he had won. I mean, imagine if Hitler had won that war. Just imagine it. Or imagine if the United States had not gotten involved, but Stalin had defeated Hitler. And then Russia, the Soviet Union, became the dominant force in the world. I think about that from the perspective of the amazing feats that so many of the people that we'll honor on Monday, we'll recognize on Monday, did to defeat hatred, to defeat the kind of just vile anti-Semitism and racism that existed. And yet you hear some of these knucklehead members of Congress who are out there, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others, who say that America has this, we've always been a racist country, we've always been a white power country, we've always been a country of imperialism and blah, blah, blah. It dishonors the memory of all of these fallen heroes that we'll be honoring on Monday. It's a sad, shameful a disgrace, I think, to dishonor them that way. The United States of America has defeated more evil in the world and has empowered more people to be free than any other country. We have not always gotten it right. I've never pretended like we've always gotten it right. But we have done more good than any other country in the world. And there have been more people who've given their life in sacrifice of the pursuit of that good than any other country in the world. So when you hear these morons who say those things about our country, remember that they are absolutely slandering the memory of people who fought so that they could have the right to say those vile things. Just remember that as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.